Thank you for downloading or streaming today's episode of the PW Torch Livecast. In just a couple minutes, we'll get you to the show. But first, I want to let you know about our big $1 VIP sale. If you have not become a PW Torch VIP member, this is the best time of year to do it. We are running our $1 sale in association with it being SummerSlam month. We are creating a SummerSlam special section on the PW Torch VIP website that will feature links to our SummerSlam reports dating back to when the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter started in the late 1980s through this year's. We're also creating a collection of our post-SummerSlam pay-per-view roundtables dating back to the mid-2000s. The last dozen SummerSlams have been covered with post-pay-per-view roundtables since we launched the PW Torch VIP website in the mid-2000s, and you can subscribe to that feed on your smartphone and listen to what we had to say the night of SummerSlam for the last dozen years. And you can subscribe to it exclusively as a VIP member on your smartphone or in iTunes. Just like all VIP audio, you can subscribe on your iPhone, Android, or through iTunes, or stream it directly from our ad-free VIP website, which is mobile-friendly and desktop-friendly. You also get everything else that comes with a VIP membership, ad-free access to our website, exclusive articles, the new weekly Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter chronicling wrestling history in depth, the biggest stories, the biggest events, obscure house show results, TV reports, exclusive columns, cover stories, and so much more. 1,500 plus back issues dating back to the late 1980s. Also, in the month of July, we posted over 130 podcasts for our VIP members. The live casts are great. They're even better when the commercials are edited out. And that's a bonus for VIP members. The commercials are edited out of the PW Torch live casts, and they're available for your convenience on our VIP audio feed, in addition to VIP exclusive shows that only VIP members listen to. I host The Fix with Todd Martin midweek for about 2 hours, and the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show on weekends for about 2 hours. The two top wrestling analysts in the business are part of PW Torch VIP every week. I also record the Wade Keller Hotline every single day. I've recorded it every single day for 8 years. No days off. You wake up, and there it is, the Wade Keller Hotline with the latest breaking news, my answers to VIP member questions, and every Monday night and Tuesday night, a detailed rundown with my analysis of both Raw and SmackDown. So much more comes with the VIP membership. Get full details at pwtorch.com/govip. And the coupon code for our sale is livecast2017. No space, lowercase, livecast2017. Enter that in the promo code box on our mobile-friendly sign-up form, and you are in for $1 for one full month. Or you can take that $9 discount and apply it to a three-month or a one-year subscription. That means that a $99 subscription for 1 year gets dropped down to $90, which equates to paying just on average $7.50 a month for the next year. If you are a fan of our work here on the PW Torch Livecast and my new show, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast over at Podcast One, you will love the PW Torch VIP audio lineup. So go VIP for $1 or take $9 off a longer-term subscription. This offer expires soon. Don't miss out. pwtorch.com/govip. Enter promo code LiveCast2017. That's LiveCast2017. No space in there. LiveCast2017. We'd love to have you as a member. We'd love to earn your business for the long run. Find out what people love about their PW Torch VIP membership and get more of what you love in terms of pro wrestling podcasts brought to you by the team at Pro Wrestling Torch.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to MMA Talk for Pro Wrestling Fans. Today is Monday, August 21st, 2017. I am your host, Mike Grocki. My two co-hosts for today's show are Robert Vallejos. Welcome, Robert.
Hey.
And making his MMA Talk for Pro Wrestling Fans debut, we have Matt Peterson. Matt, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here. I'm excited to be on.
Great. If you have a question or comment for the show, we would love to hear from you. The phone number to call is 515-605-9345. Again, that number is 515-605-9345. And if you do want to be part of the show, don't forget to press 1, which will let us know to bring you onto the show. But if you prefer to email the show, you can do that as well. The email address to use is mmalivecast@gmail.com. Again, that's mmalivecast@gmail.com. But before we get started, Robert, why don't you go ahead and plug whatever you've got, whatever you're working on, and how listeners can follow you. And then, Matt, you can follow after Robert.
Okay, so on Twitter, I'm Rob M. Vallejos, RobMBallejos. I do a weekly column on MMAtorch.com, media and business. Later this week, I got something going up where I'm taking Grocky's gimmick, I'm handicapping the rest of the year in UFC pay-per-views and if they'll go over or under the 500,000 mark.
Oh, I like it. And Matt.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. That's MattP1088. Work here and there on MMA Torch when I get the chance. Follow me on Twitter where I rant about how much I'm not looking forward to Bisping versus GSP.
Yeah, you make that perfectly clear in your Twitter feed.
That's a great gimmick, by the way.
Yeah, it really is. All right, so we have some breaking news as of today, so we're kind of mix up the topics a little bit here because I figured it would make a lot of sense to start with the news that Brian Stann will be stepping away from his duties as commentary with the UFC. So from what I understand is he is leaving the UFC to focus a little bit more on his business, go back to school, get his MBA, and sounds like he wants to be home on weekends a little bit more. Are you guys hearing anything besides that, or is that pretty much the gist of it? Robert, if you have anything, go ahead.
No, that was basically what that Instagram post had said. I think he's getting a little burned out and wants to do something else. Look, I mean, the guy was in the military. He was a fighter, and then he was on, you know, kept that same road schedule. So if anybody deserves a break, it's definitely him.
Yeah, he definitely does. Matt, anything on your end over there? Did you hear anything different or anything more?
Along the same lines, I have a social media post here. It just says he's taking, I believe, a leadership position with a real estate firm. He'll be looking to get his executive MBA in the fall. And yeah, the travel burnout, he put that he was on the weekend, or he traveled 26 weekends out of the last year with kids and a wife at home. I know that's going to be a huge pain for anybody.
Yeah, those of us with kids, including me, understand just how difficult that can be. So how do you think this affects the telecast going forward? I don't think they've talked about who was going to replace him, but he was a pretty popular color commentary guy as far as the UFC telecasts go. How do you guys feel do you think this is going to hurt the telecast? And I guess depending on who they decide to bring in, we won't really know if you know how big of a difference it's going to make. But Matt, if you were, I guess, in a position of power, who would you consider bringing in for that role that that Brian Stann is now leaving?
Yeah, that's those are big shoes to fill. I know everyone talked about the amount of research Stan did before he would do any show. I think Dominic Cruz, he's very green yet, but I think with a little seasoning, he could be a very good commentator. He just needs to, you know, put the work in. It's going to be hard to do, especially still being a full-time fighter.
Robert, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't have anybody that's just off the top of my head because I mean, I think we've been trying to fill the UFC commentary void all year. It seems like we can't really put our fingers on what they need. I like when Cormier is on, and if his career is winding down, I wouldn't hate for him to be in that position. It just, I don't know, it's so weird. I don't think anybody from the outside world comes into MMA necessarily and does a great job. So it seems like we have to look within the ranks. I just don't think there's a bunch of guys that will really fit that profile well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they need to keep it within the UFC. I don't think bringing someone in from the outside would make much sense. You know, I had thought about Dan Hardy, but now that you mentioned Daniel Cormier, I think that makes a lot of sense too. I really like his work at the desk. So I think he would be a really good fit too. Dominic Cruz, he gets to, in my opinion, he gets a little too, I don't want to say defensive, but I think I get the feeling he compares everyone who's fighting in the cage with him and his career and what he would do and what, you know, and everything he's done in his career. Does that make sense? Do you guys feel that way about him in any way, Robert?
Yeah, well, one, he can't be on there with Rogan. I mean, it's entertaining for a while. We've talked about it before on this show, and then it always devolves into this argument. He still has that sort of competitive mindset to him. And sometimes he's just talking over my pay grade as an MMA fan where I have no idea. He's saying good stuff. I just, there's a certain thing in media where when athletes transition into media where they have to realize they're no longer speaking to their trainers or to, you know, the people in the defensive meeting room. They're speaking to the viewer, and sometimes he struggles with that. And like you said, he's a very high-level fighter, and he's communicating as a high-level fighter, not necessarily always to the audience. I like what he does. I just think he needs a little more polishing before he's really the cornerstone guy that they maybe want him to be.
Yeah, Matt, what do you think? Any opinion on that?
Yeah, everything you're saying, I mean, it's true. He and I think that actually sticks with the fact that he is still, I mean, he still has a fighting career. So he's kind of got one foot in the broadcaster booth and one foot still in the octagon. So I could see, you know, not make, he hasn't made that full transition yet. So a little seasoning probably wouldn't hurt anything.
Yeah, I guess it all just depends on, you know, the injuries and how soon or if he can come back. Have you guys heard anything about a timeline as far as his comeback? He's kind of been keeping a low profile. I haven't really heard anything as far as him, you know, a possible time frame or a possible fight card for him to come back on. Have you guys heard anything? Matt, start with you.
Yeah, I have heard nothing yet. I think he's taken time off, more time off between fights just to deal with the recurring injuries and just the wear and tear that his fighting style does have on his body. So yeah, no timeline as far as I'm aware of.
Robert, have you heard anything differently?
No, he seems to be keeping it pretty close to the vest. It seems like he wants this whole Cody TJ thing to be resolved, and then he's going to sort of plant his flag and figure out where he goes from there.
Yeah, I kind of got that feeling too, and we'll revisit that that fight later in the show. But yeah, that could have a lot to do with his next decision and what the next fight will be for him. So, all right, well, just want to get that kind of breaking news out of the way. So let's move into the latest Mayweather-McGregor promotion. I'd like to get our official predictions for the fight. There was some news coming out this past week. I know the Nevada Athletic Commission did end up approving the use of the 8-ounce gloves. And if I remember from last week's show, all three of us, I know it was Sean last week, but all three of us thought that, you know, making that change in to 8-ounce gloves really didn't have much of an effect on how we thought the fight was going to go. Now, when you look at the odds, you know, ever since that decision came down, they've changed quite a bit. So maybe there is a little bit more to it than maybe we're seeing, or maybe that's just the public making more of it than it really is. So, Matt, in your opinion, does the change make a difference in the way you think the fight will go? Do you think it makes McGregor more competitive? Do you think he's got a shot to win now, or do you think it's a non-event for the most part?
Yeah, this is one of those things. I think Nick Diaz put it best when he said, I mean, these are wolf tickets. This is a non-event. Floyd Mayweather's been doing this longer than I've probably been alive. You know, he should have had an Olympic gold medal Conor may have boxed. He may be a great MMA fighter, but Floyd's been doing this for almost as long as he's been alive. He's going to take, I would call, a boring decision. The gloves won't make a difference. I wish Conor would win, but it's going to be a Floyd Mayweather fight to the end, I think.
Yeah, Robert, has your opinion changed at all since last week?
No, last week I just thought it was a nice feather in Floyd's cap whenever he'll be able to say that he beat McGregor with these altered rules. To me, the whole thing kind of smells of a bit of collusion, in that the commission really just helped them sell the fight and get another talking point. To me, that's the big news out of this. I don't think there's really a difference in how the fight's going to go.
It seems that you're right in the fact that it always seems like there's always something to – I mean, obviously it's a big fight. It was going to be in the public eye, you know, up until the night of the fight. But it does seem like there is always something being added to it in some way, somehow, just to keep, you know, everyone talking about it for the past – gosh, I don't know, 3-4 weeks. I mean, just daily. So that's a good transition. Robert, how do you feel the overall promotion of the fight has gone? I mean, if we go back to, you know, being in Toronto and in the press conferences, to where they are now, after the media day workouts, to, you know, the sit downs, you know, give us your overall opinion of, you know, the overall promotion of the fight, and also, you know, kind of comparing it to how, you know, WWE or pro wrestling kind of promotes their big shows and their wrestlers. So I know there's a lot to unpack there, so you start wherever you want.
Okay, overall, I mean, if I were to give it a grade, I'd give it a B-. I've been actually disappointed in this sort of build-up. I just don't know that any of these things have added a single pay-per-view buy. I think they could have just announced the thing and they would have probably got the same numbers that they're getting. I just, like I said last week, everything's so inauthentic about this build that I think that's why we're not feeling it in a way. Also, when you talk about comparing it to WWE, it reminds me very specifically of WrestleMania 28, where you had John Cena against The Rock, and the thing was built for a year. And so there was this inevitability that it was going to happen. And whether or not that made sense to happen didn't really matter, because everybody knew that they were going to get a ton of money off of it. And so they built the thing through social media and people were talking about it. So it's not like it's something that didn't resonate, but it just kind of reminds me of that big fight or the big wrestling match that is going to happen. You know, it's the right thing business-wise to happen, but nobody in their heart of hearts actually wants it to happen.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I remember, you know, I mean, this is going way back, like when Hulk Hogan was like in the AWA and we just got to the WWF at the time. I remember, you know, his promos, you know, about the Iron Sheik or the Ultimate Warrior, and just how confident he was about how he was either going to win the belt back or, you know, retain the title. And it kind of goes back a little bit to what I was saying last week with the way Mayweather was talking about how, you know, he's 40 years old now, he's lost a step, he's not the same fighter he was. You know, I would have preferred him coming out and just, you know, lambasting Conor McGregor for even wanting to step into the ring with him. I would have rather seen that type of promotion. I think that would have given it a little bit more of an edge, because now you're kind of tuning in to see, yeah, you know, he makes a good point here. How long will it take him to knock, you know, this guy out? So, you know, I think they might have lost a little bit there. Matt, any opinion on, you know, the promotion of the fight? And if you have any recollection of your, you know, your wrestling fan days, you can kind of draw on that as well.
Yeah, for sure. The promotion for this fight, to me, has almost gone too far in a parody sort of realm. The fight sells itself. You know, this is one of the highest level MMA fighters going against arguably the best pound for pound boxer in history, if not recent history. I think the world tour kind of burned people out after the second night. You know, Conor knows how to sell a fight. It seems like the act's almost getting a little old at this point. This fight sells itself. There's no need to go almost as far and over what it's at in this point.
Yeah, I felt the same way in the beginning when they were doing the press conferences or the media tour. I thought that got a little out of control. But what I kind of liked when, you know, we had Mayweather talking to Stephen A. Smith, and then when you had McGregor talking to Ariel Helwani, I thought those two interviews were some of the best promotion that they did the entire lead up to the fight, because those were, you know, honest times with both fighters, kind of just talking, you know, from the heart, more than trying to put on this bravado and this show for the people. I thought it got a little out of hand, especially which one was it? Was it Toronto that got really out of control, or was it New York or New Jersey? I can't remember which one it was, but you know, I actually thought it got a little bit better down the stretch, and none of us really could have saw the whole Paulie Malignaggi side promotion coming along. Gosh, that added a ton to the lead up to this fight. And I think, Robert, to your point, I think maybe that even added to some of the burnout feel to it, because it almost became, you know, the top headline on a daily basis was, you know, first the picture, you know, then the video. And pretty soon it just became, you know, are they going to fight? You know, when are they going to fight? So I think that took a little away from it. Now, I did enjoy it, don't get me wrong, but I think that had a lot to do with some of the burnout that people might be feeling. Robert, do you agree, disagree with any of that?
I don't think the Paulie stuff had a lot to do with it, because I think that was actually a nice diversion from, like you said, this kind of a lackluster build. Both guys, like you said, in isolated interviews kind of got to be themselves, and you know, obviously with their volume kind of turned up, and that was more entertaining. I think all of this too is a matter of when you have a fight that basically feels like it has no stakes, like it feels like the only reason these two men are fighting is so they can get rich, or richer, should I say. Whenever you have, you know, like McGregor going back and forth with an Aldo or something like that, it feels that there is going to be a major boost for the winner and something like catastrophic is going to happen to the loser. Unless we get that insane, you know, McGregor upset and the boxing world goes nuts, it feels like there's no stakes to this fight. And I think that's part of why we're getting that burnout where, you know, the Paulie Malignaggi or the 8-ounce gloves are like the most exciting thing about this entire buildup.
Yeah. Matt, any further thoughts on that?
Yeah, kind of what you said on, the promotion seemed overdone. The interviews are really where I think it hit home. Conor McGregor is a great interview when he sits down with someone one-on-one. I mean, he's a rags-to-riches story that just keeps on growing. And he's one-on-one, he's a very honest person. He says it like it is. And he's a genuine person who's interesting to listen to in an interview like that.
Yeah, I felt the same way. I really enjoyed the interview we did with Helwani. So let's take a break here. We'll break for our first commercial, and when we come back, it looks like we have a couple callers on hold. I believe one of them might be Rick from Alaska. So we will be right back.
I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw and my first show of the week, SmackDown, with my second show of the week, and then the Flagship Edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events, and then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
All right, we are back. Let's go to our first caller. 818, you are on. State your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, guys, it's Rick from Alaska.
Hey, Rick, how you doing? Thanks for calling. What's on your mind tonight?
No problem. Well, I was rewatching. I am pretty hyped about Floyd Mayweather. I think I'm the only one on this conference who is, really, which is fine because I'm kind of a sucker for these things. I'm a mark for sure. But I was rewatching Mayweather versus Canelo. Showtime's re-released all the Mayweather fights, and they say that's one of the most exciting Mayweather fights there's been in a while. And I could be wrong, but that fight was really boring to watch. Like, and I saw it live, and I really like. They're talking about the you know, the master shoulder roll that Mayweather does, and You know, and one thing that's really interesting about listening to boxing announcing is they will openly mock and talk bad about the fight you're watching itself. Like, UFC will kind of do that. Rogan will. Wrestling really doesn't. But they admit this fight sucks. You know, like, and by round 12, they were like, well, this isn't the worst Mayweather fight we've ever seen. So that kind of reminded me of the reality, the Wolf tickets, like you guys mentioned, of what we're kind of possibly in store for. Did any of you guys see that fight by any chance? Because that was, again, what they consider to be one of the better Mayweather fights recently.
Yeah, Matt or Robert, you guys, either of you see the fight?
Yeah, I remember buying it and being. I was more disappointed by that fight just because watching Canelo before he fought Austin Trout was kind of a local guy around here. And the hype on Canelo was really good, and they did a good job selling him. And I thought, you know, if there was ever a chance, this young guy is going to touch him. And then it was another one where you bought it, you had a big party, drank a lot of beer, and everyone just felt tired at the end.
Yeah, I remember the fight as well. And I was kind of to the point with Mayweather fights where I kind of knew what I was going to get. But I always told myself, well, this one might be different. This guy might actually, you know, have a chance here. And every single time, just the same thing would happen. Matt, did you happen to catch that fight at all?
The fight itself, no. I've caught the highlights as, you know, the years have gone by. And to me, it seemed, I mean, that exciting. I'm not a giant boxing fan, but I enjoyed it for the most part.
Yeah, overall, it wasn't a terribly one-sided fight. Mayweather definitely won the fight. But I'm always just looking for that time or that fight where he's actually going to be a little bit more aggressive, try and, you know, knock the guy out. And hopefully we get that coming this Saturday, because personally, I'd rather see more of a show than anything else. Because if it's just the same old Mayweather, you're going to have a lot of disappointed people again. What do you guys think? Robert.
Yeah, I hope there's something different. I think there's a bad taste in people's mouth from Mayweather Pacquiao, and it was at the same price point, that $100. It's one thing if you pay $60 and you sort of assume that risk of there being a boring fight, but whenever you're making a fight be this sort of this cultural happening, you kind of want it to be something worthwhile, because you're going to have such a large audience that's going to view it. Like, if it's boring, it will sort of, you know, speak to that. Well, is this what boxing is? This is the highest level boxer in the world, and this is what we're seeing. So, you know, I really do hope that it at least something happens. Even if it's not the most exciting fight, at least it's something that you can say at least was entertaining or had something newsworthy or noteworthy, where you don't have to just watch the highlights, because that gives you no incentive to really buy boxing going forward.
Right, I think this would definitely hurt their business quite a bit. Rick, anything else for us?
Well, that's pretty much it. And I was just going to say, I'm happy at least with the undercard that was announced, that it's half decent as far as boxing goes. So it's not just, I mean, it is a one-fight show, but you can sit there and watch the prelims on Fox and be pretty happy. But
yeah,
that's it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks for calling. Yeah, I think the prelims, I think they are going to be some competitive fights. I think it's probably going to be, you know, more competitive than the main event. Have you guys had a chance to look? I know, Matt, you mentioned you're not the biggest boxing guy, but either of you have a chance to look at the prelims for the fight on Saturday? Matt?
Glanced over it. Like I said, I'm not the biggest fan. I've had people tell me it's a really good looking undercard. These people claim they know what they're talking about, so if they say it, I'm willing to believe it. I imagine this, you know, with a card like this, they're going to stack it as much as they can, so I'm willing to believe that they put some pretty good fights on it.
Yeah, I think so too. Robert, have you had a chance to take a look?
I've looked at it, but I mean, kind of like Matt said, there's sort of names on paper for me. I will say this, boxing has done a good job in the last year of their non-pay-per-view fights feeling like a big deal on the stuff they've been doing on FS1 and ESPN. So I'm wondering, you know, at some point, maybe those guys will be on the undercards of some of these more major fights, and they'll be a little more recognizable. Boxing's still huge. It seems like they don't have any names outside of like the top names.
Yeah, I think putting Pacquiao on ESPN, was that about 2 months ago? I think that helped a lot, too. Did you guys catch that?
No, I had it on the DVR, and then I got the Twitter notification that it was a major robbery, so I deleted the whole thing.
Matt, did you take? Did you check it out?
I did not.
Okay.
No, I didn't get a chance.
All right. All right. So let's take a look at some of the betting odds for the fight. But first, I want to get Matt, we'll start with you. Since you're going to be on next week, we'll be able to revisit this, the three of us. So what is your official prediction? And if you can, tell us how the fight will end and in what round.
We're talking a Floyd Mayweather fight, so we're talking unanimous decision, Floyd Mayweather. Boring decision, defensive fighting, and a lot of people are going to wish they had $100 on Sunday.
Okay. All right. And Robert.
Okay, I'm going to go against my natural inclinations, and I'm going to predict a Mayweather knockout in either the 10th or 11th. Let's go 11th. I think, actually, it's going to be boring for a lot of the fight, and I think throughout the fight, there's going to be some kind of weakness that Mayweather really notices and he's able to actually capitalize on, and there might be a fatigue factor that starts setting in for McGregor.
Yeah, I think if there is going to be a knockout, I think it's going to come late, and I think it will be Mayweather getting the knockout, just for that reason, as you stated. We've seen McGregor tire, you know, in the UFC. So I expect him to tire in this as well, and I think I expect Mayweather to get the finish by knockout as well. I think it's going to happen later in the fight too. I'm going to go with Mayweather by knockout in the 9th round. So I got all of these written down. So yeah, 9th round. All right.
So if it goes down in the 10th, we're both going to be very angry.
I don't know if you guys had a chance to look at any of the other betting odds or the props from the fight. I just took a look on Bovada's website, and this fight opened with Mayweather at -950, and McGregor, I believe, was at +700. The current odds, as of when I looked at this late last night, Mayweather came down to -400, and the comeback on Conor McGregor is +300. So the odds have been coming further and further down ever since they opened. So I've been trying to get a read on this. You know, the 8-ounce gloves might have something to do with it, but is this just more people taking a flyer on the fighter with the big odds, hoping, you know, they're gonna make it big, you know, with a flash knockout? Or do you think there's actually some smart money behind McGregor, who by backing him, they think he's got a really solid chance at winning this? Matt, what do you think? Where do you come in on it?
The hype on this fight has just been killing these odds. I think Conor, you know, where he's at this week, that's it, the odds on that, I call it a tragedy. He's a way bigger underdog than the odds to tell you this week. I don't even know how to explain it.
I mean, from 950 to 400, that's, you don't see movement like that. And it's just been in the last 2 to 3 weeks, too. So I don't know if there's something to it, or if it's just, like I said, if it's just, you know, the public just, you know, throwing a flyer on McGregor to see what happens. Robert, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's probably just the books reacting to public money. Look, anytime there's such long odds on something, but you have enough time to think about it, you eventually convince yourself that something else is going to happen, even if that goes against your natural inclinations. So I think a lot of people have just – look, when I talk to people that don't, you know, don't follow the fight sports so closely, and I think it's because people don't like Mayweather – people are telling me, oh, what do you mean? Conor's going to knock him out. Look how much stronger Conor is. Look how much younger Conor is. When they don't get into the minutiae of the guy is literally stepping into a different sport for the first time, I think there is a genuine belief among certain people, the suckers, the marks, if you will, that he can actually do something. So I think that's why the line movement has been so dramatic over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, you're probably right, because it's funny that you say that, because when this fight first got announced, I said Mayweather is going to win in the second or third round. Now I'm saying Mayweather's still going to win, but maybe the ninth or tenth round. So I'm kind of doing a little bit of the same thing, because when this when the fight first got announced, I thought there was no chance McGregor was going to be able to not win the fight, but even just hang with Mayweather. But then the more I thought about it, and the more I kind of thought about the way Mayweather fights, then I kind of, you know, swaying a little bit. I never once thought McGregor was going to win, but I do see the fight now going longer than I originally thought. So, Matt, did your perception of the fight change from when it was first announced to now? I know, you know, the winner isn't in doubt, but anything else as far as, you know, you the way you thought the fight was going to go, did any of that change?
You know, actually, I would say, yeah. Right on the start, I'm very much leaning towards the Mayweather victory. I could see Conor maybe pulling an upset. You know, this is a huge fight, and you know, I look. He seems like a guy who's working hard at it. He was a boxer, you know, before he was an MMA fighter. I'm hoping for an upset. I love an upset. You know, that's a great fight to watch. You know, my odds have definitely come towards Conor. Not enough where I'd call a victory for him, but you know, I think he's got a little more than a puncher's chance, which is farther than I thought I'd be at this point.
Yeah, I agree with you there. So, you mentioned, you know, obviously anything can happen in a fight, right? So, let's just say McGregor wins this fight. Would you, Robert, I'll start with you, would you consider this the biggest upset in sports history?
Wow, I'd have to really do my homework, but I would just for one reason, like, okay, the Jets beat the Colts and we basically got a new league out of it, or Buster Douglas knocked out Mike Tyson, or App State beat Michigan. Those are all massive upsets where the skill level might have actually been further apart. But you have somebody that's entering a sport for the first time, and then and the person he's fighting against is maybe the best ever at that sport. So I think it's hard to say that it wouldn't be the biggest upset of all time, even if the odds won't necessarily reflect that.
Matt, to you.
It's hard to call it. It would be hard to call it the biggest upset in sports. I would say probably the biggest upset in combat sports, for sure. Douglas Tyson, I'd say, would be right up there, neck and neck with it. Hard to say across all sports. Combat sports, definitely.
Yeah, for sure, combat sports. I don't think it would even be a question. But when you look at the biggest upsets, what are you looking at? You're looking at what? USA beating Russia in hockey, Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson, and I guess you can throw, you know, the Jets Colts in there. I didn't think about the Michigan App State upset. That was a pretty big one. I remember when that happened. That's all everyone talked about for a few weeks. That was a really big upset. But if you, personally, I think this would be the biggest upset of all time if McGregor pulls this off. So looking at some of these other props, I just kind of pulled a few that caught my eye. So one that I'm looking at here, these are again all from Bovada, a Mayweather decision is at plus 250, where a McGregor decision is at plus 1200. So those are pretty steep, pretty big difference in odds. So obviously, the smart money would be Mayweather decision at plus 250. But, I mean, is there any chance you can see McGregor pulling out a decision in this? Robert, start with you.
No, that would be more shattering than him getting a knockout, to be honest, because I think, look, he's a fighter. If he hits another person and they go down, that's not an improbability. If he were to actually outbox Mayweather for 12 whole rounds, I mean, that would seal the deal. I think maybe it'd be the biggest upset in sports history.
Yeah, I agree. Matt, any thoughts?
Yeah, that's a good point. If Conor wins the decision over Floyd Mayweather, I will rank that as a bigger upset than the Miracle on Ice.
Yeah, I definitely would. So now they have over-unders on total rounds. So the over one round, so they just have to get past the first round, is minus 5,000. Where if you took the under one round, you're at plus 1,000. And then after that, they it dropped dramatically. So even if you were to bet the over in this for two rounds, you're at minus 1,400. So quite a big difference. And if you come back on the under two rounds, you're at plus 575. And then again, they keep lowering. So my prediction, for example, I'm saying Mayweather in the ninth round. If I were to say over nine rounds, I'm at plus 110. If I came back with under nine rounds, it's minus 155. And I think those are the lowest odds as far as the over-under on total rounds go. So does any of that surprise you? I really don't think it does. Because I think everyone is saying it's going to be, you know, somewhere between 8, 9, 10, or a decision. Do you guys see it any differently? Matt?
No. Yeah, I mean, you hit it spot on. The odds for that are exactly where they should be. I wouldn't go against them.
Yeah, I agree. Robert, anything to add?
No, just that. This is like the only fight, though, when you think about a boxing match. Back in the Mike Tyson days, people would complain about paying all that money for a fight and it ending early. This would be the one time, like, in history where a fight ending early would be, like, the most amazing thing ever, and people would be raving about it for years.
Yeah, that's a good point. And this, it was funny because when I pulled these props up, it was almost like the Super Bowl. I mean, there were just pages of prop bets you can make. This is a good one. Will Conor McGregor throw a kick? If you say no, he won't, you're at minus 1,800. If you say yes, he will throw a kick, you're at plus 650. I actually think that's pretty good odds on saying yes. What do you guys think, Matt?
That's a good bet. The one I'm more excited for is will Justin Bieber walk out with Floyd Mayweather? You're at yes, plus 300, no, minus 500. That's the bet I'm looking to put my money on this weekend.
That's not a bad one. Robert, any thoughts on either of those?
Yeah, well, what constitutes a kick? Does he have to connect with the kick, or does he just throw one? Like,
yeah, it just says
throw one into the air and...
I guess so, yeah. It just says, will Conor McGregor throw a kick?
Wow. Well, you know what, though? But isn't it, like, stipulated that he can't, though? Like very specific, like, language about him losing a piece of the purse if he does something like that?
Yeah, I thought there was. I think they're just going off of maybe McGregor just gets so frustrated at one point, he just decides to throw a kick. I don't know where it stems from, but... I think the yes is a pretty solid play in this one after looking at all these. So let's go through these a little more quickly here. So this is one I'm interested in, and we talked a little bit about this last week, Robert. How many pay-per-view buys will the fight have? Over 4.99 is minus 210. If you come in on the under 4.99, you're at plus 150. And I know last week we talked about, you know, 4.5, you know, being the number, is it going to go over or under? So it looks like Vegas, as well as these other betting parlors, have it closer to the 5 million mark. Does that surprise you? And which way would you go, over or under the 4.99, Robert?
Slightly over. I think they're doing a good enough job of keeping the public interested, so I think it's going to go slightly over.
And Matt, what do you think?
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go under. I feel like maybe the promotion's cooled just a little bit. I'm guessing it's going to be somewhere between that 3 and 4 million mark, but it won't get over 4 is my prediction.
So you think it comes in right around 4, huh? Well, then you should probably take under in this.
I just feel like the promotion's kind of cooled a little bit on it. I think people might be a little leery from the Pacquiao fight yet. It's going to sell millions and millions of pay-per-views. But, I'll probably sit somewhere between that 3.5 and 4 million mark.
Interesting. I'm going to go with Robert, and I'm going to say it's going to come in slightly over 5 million. I think there's enough public interest in this that it's going to push it over the 5 million mark, so, but we'll see. And we'll end it with this one. So total punches landed by Conor McGregor over 29.5, you're at minus 120, and under 29.5 is also minus 120. So basically it's even money on the over or the under. Matt, which side do you see this one falling on?
You know, know, I couldn't give you an accurate count, but I'd go with the over on that one would be my best guess.
And Robert?
Yeah, I'd say over. That actually might be a very interesting thing to track throughout the night, just how many, you know, punches landed, because that'll really be a measure of how well he did in this fight.
Yeah, I agree. I would go with the over on that one as well. So, all right, let's pause for a second break here, and then when we come back, we will move on from the Mayweather-McGregor promotion and hit a couple other topics here. So we'll be right back.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
So I want to get into the upcoming fights that have been announced over the past week or two. But first, let's start with the Junior Dos Santos news. He got pulled from his fight against Francis Ngannou. His manager came out and said that it was a diuretic that caused him to get flagged. Have you guys heard anything more on this? What are your thoughts about it? And do you think JDS has a solid argument to fight this? Robert, let's start with you.
Yeah, I don't know. He's coming out very defensive about this. Which,
yeah, extremely.
Every fighter seems like they do it immediately, and then they back off and, you know, quote, let the process play out. But he seems adamant. And look, and we've seen USADA is not foolproof. I mean, look what happened with Tim Means, where he lost like a year of his career over, you know, a false positive. So I don't know. Something in my heart tells me that he might actually be telling the truth. But it's a bummer either way, because he's not going to be on 215. So, you know, he loses whether he's in the right or in the wrong in this case.
Matt, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I saw a really nice write-up about it during the week that this is a substance, the diuretic is a substance that can be found in a lot of supplements. Even they said it can be found in ibuprofen in small doses. So it could be, I'm guessing it's a case of tainted supplements for the most part, but that still means, you know, a six-month suspension generally for tainted supplements, which still kicks him off the pay-per-view. And that's 6 months off your career, which is going to hurt anybody, especially him at his point in his career.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards a false positive as well, or, you know, something in, you know, there's some truth to the diuretic story. And I mean, just, I don't know JDS, but I mean, he comes across as a pretty, you know, honest guy with a lot of integrity. Don't you guys think?
Yeah, and like, if he's now using PEDs, like, while he's declining, like, there's not evidence to say he hasn't had this sudden resurgence, you know, in his career to say that, like, you know, oh yeah, something to say. He's not Vitor Belfort, where his body has just completely transformed.
Right. Yeah, it's a shame, because like you said, he is off at 215, and it was actually a fight I was looking forward to. I didn't think he was going to win the fight, but I was curious to see how he looked in the fight. Because he has to look better. He had to look better than he did against Stipe, right, Matt? Hopefully. Did you think he was going to at least come out and be competitive?
Gosh, you know, the Stipe fight is really not soured me on him. You know, he's been in the wars, the Cain Velasquez two fights, I think, took a lot of years off his career. And maybe it's catching up with him. I think that was a fight he was going to lose. Hopefully he'd be competitive, but I could have seen it being just you know, one-way traffic.
Yeah, Robert, how did you see the fight going?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was in there so that Ngannou can look good. That was really the whole reason why he was booked. Now, some people were going as far as saying, like, oh, what a shame that they're putting this guy out there against him. But, like, I mean, he was in a title match earlier this year. I don't think he's a totally shot fighter. But, you know, he would have been a good enough boost for Ngannou. That's really the shame here, is that Ngannou now is kind of stuck in limbo.
Yeah, he wasn't none too happy, if you saw his response to the news. Which I don't blame him. So, all right, let's look at UFC 216. We'll start with Tony Ferguson taking on taking on Lee in a fight that, honestly, I don't quite understand why it was made. Just, you know, if I'm looking for a quick pick here, I would go with Ferguson. Robert, what are your thoughts first on the fight being made? And if he had to pick a winner, who would it be?
Yeah, this is just stupid. There's no way to put that. If you're going to put Kevin Lee in the main event, you've got a card in Detroit. Hello.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. And like, where is Khabib? Is he a month? If he's a month out, you really can't wait a month. I mean, but this is the story of UFC this year, is that you've got to, you know, what does Jim Cornette always say? Is sometimes you had a match that needed a building, or the other times you have a building that needs a match. And that's definitely the case here. Like, it's happening because they needed a main event, and they couldn't get Velasquez and Miocic booked for this fight. That's the only reason why it's happening. Yeah, I like Ferguson. I just don't know enough about Lee yet. Obviously, he's looked great, but, you know, I look at Ferguson as, you know, maybe the best in that weight class, you know, whether you consider McGregor in it or not. So I think I got Ferguson winning.
Well, do you think this is almost like a punishment for Khabib, considering what happened at the last fight? Robert?
Well, maybe, because I would say that the trust factor has probably got to be extremely low with him. So it could be. Because this, if McGregor's going to fight again, this interest title is probably your most well-defined path to him. So I think that's why this is a big carrot for anyone to get. So yeah, I would say that they are maybe sending the message, or it's like a way of sort of keeping him out. They tried to book Ferguson and Khabib like 700 times. So yeah, I can kind of understand that from their perspective.
Yeah, that was the first thought I had when I heard that this fight was made, was, you know, this is something UFC has against Khabib at this point. Matt, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think the UFC has any faith in Khabib to make it to fight night anymore, you know, until he proves himself, whatever that is. The problem is, I mean, between Ferguson and Kevin Lee, you know, you've got everyone has already got a fight scheduled or they're in limbo. I don't think Kevin Lee wins this fight. He has one big win, and that was over Michael Chiesa. You look at the tear that Ferguson is on, and Lee doesn't stand a chance. This is a card that needed a title fight, so they made a title fight.
I agree. My money would be on Ferguson as well. Then we have Derek Lewis taking on Fabricio Werdum. Another fight I'm really not all that interested in seeing. How do you guys feel about it? Matt, I'll start with you.
This is a heavyweight division, so anything can happen in heavyweight. The Mark Hunt fight kind of slowed me down on the Derek Lewis train. He's entertaining, but I think Werdum, he's a smart fighter. His striking has come in leaps and bounds in the last few years. I think he'll play smart. He'll take Lewis into deep water, and he'll knock him out in, you know, the third round.
Werdum by knockout. Interesting. Robert, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't hate the fight. And Derek Lewis did look very bad against Mark Hunt, but I get excited when he fights. I'm more angry that this fight's happening just because of what we talked about before. Like, if you had to be maybe book Ngannou and Lewis, this almost seems like the perfect time to finally do it. And it's kind of like, oh, well, this is what we're going to get instead.
Yeah, I agree. It would have been, you know, maybe they thought, you know, Ngannou would fight Lewis, you know, after, you know, these two fights. That might be something that they were setting up, and then maybe with the winner taking on Stipe. Not sure if that timeline works, but that's what I thought they were leading towards. But I don't think we're going to get that anytime soon now. So let's move on to UFC 217. We will start with Matt's probably his most favorite fight of the year. Bisping versus GSP. Matt, what are your thoughts about the fight?
You know, I need to admit that I finally understand this fight. You know, you look at the UFC middleweight rankings, there isn't, you know, anyone in the top 10 that's coming off a win or is not on injury right now. I mean, Robert Whittaker, he's the interim champion. He's out till at least October, I believe. There isn't anyone to fight for the middleweight title. So the UFC needed a big fight for coming back to New York. This is a big fight. I don't like it, but it's going to sell pay-per-views. It's going to put butts in the seats. I'll watch it. I hate saying that I will, but this is the only fight that's there for the middleweight title, so they had to make it.
And Robert, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't like it. You could do whatever business you're going to do by having this. I don't think Bisping adds to it. You could have had George St. Pierre's comeback, and I think it will net the same result as having him face Bisping. So I think you could have actually had two major fights on this card without them exactly fighting each other.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the fight. Obviously, you know, Matt, you kind of summed it up well. It's a fight, obviously, it's going to sell. It's a fight, you know, I'm going to watch. I'm not clamoring for it, to be honest with you. And then if GSP wins, I know it's in his contract. He has to defend it once, but, you know, what's that? I mean, and after that, you know, is he done? I'm not the biggest Bisping fan, but this is a fight I would rather see him win because I kind of want to see where, you know, the fight go, you know, at least the division. I think with a GSP win, the division is held up eventually, but with a Bisping win, I think he'll continue to defend the title at least a couple more times against actual competitors in the same weight class. Any last thoughts on it, guys? Matt?
Yeah, I'll call it a Bisping win. I mean, GSP's been out for a while. He's moving up the weight class. I could see, you know, Bisping be a decision would be my best guess.
Yeah, I would lean that way too, Robert.
Yeah, I got to go with Bisping. But if St. Pierre wins, I am really intrigued by how he could find a way to not fight some of these middleweights. It feels like, okay, Whitaker or Romero, like either of those guys against Bisping, like let's see how that turns out for everyone.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. All right, moving on. We have Garbrandt taking on TJ Dillashaw for the Bantamweight title. This is a fight that we've been waiting for quite some time. I think Garbrandt's finally healthy, so we're finally getting it. There was some talk about a month or so back about Dillashaw maybe dropping down to take on Demetrius Johnson. Johnson did not want to take that fight, so here we are. And I think this is the fight that should have been made, and I'm glad it was made. I'm glad Dillashaw did not fight Mighty Mouse. So I'm happy this fight was made. I think this is a fight that has to happen. So, Matt, we'll start with you. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, Dillashaw versus Johnson was the wrong idea the whole time people were talking about it. This is a great fight. This is a pick'em. You know, it's hard to call this one. Both guys are the very top of the division. I like Dillashaw, so I'm going to say Dillashaw. But it could go either way.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a real competitive fight. Robert, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm really into this fight. I'm so glad that Mighty Mouse stood his ground. That way we get this fight instead. I would lead Cody, but not with very much confidence. It seems like he hasn't taken off the way we thought as champion, but I mean, he hasn't defended his title either. But I think if he looks good on this stage, that could be a real boost for him.
Yeah, I think whoever wins this fight is going to be a huge boost for their careers. Looking at it, you know, without really taking a deep dive into it, I would lean Garbrandt, but after looking at it closer, I wouldn't be surprised if I switched it over to Dillashaw, because he's a really good fighter as well. So, and finally, we have Wonderboy Thompson taking on George Masvidal. This is one of the fights I'm looking forward to the most. I really think Masvidal is a really solid fighter. I think he can be champ in the division, and I like him to win this fight. Robert, let's start with you. How do you see this fight going?
I'm kind of leaning Wonderboy, but not strongly. I think Masvidal benefits more by winning, because I think if he gets the win, he probably gets the next shot at Woodley. Obviously, Thompson's not going to get another shot. So I think there's more on the line for Masvidal, but I'm leaning Thompson. Either way, I wish this was on a fight night. This is kind of like Lawler Cerrone, where I wish it would be a five-round fight.
Yeah, five-round fight between these two would be nice. Matt, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I love this fight. Two guys who have definitely made a big boost in their career by actually moving up in weight, Robert Whittaker and Jorge Masvidal. I'm very impressed by Masvidal at welterweight. Thompson's a tough guy, but I think Masvidal, looking at the performance against Damian Maia, looking at the Cowboy fight, I think this is his fight to lose. You know, Thompson can have his moments, but I think Masvidal's learned to put his foot on the gas, and I could see him, you know, winning this fight. and get the next title shot.
Yeah, I think he wins the fight and gets the next title shot as well. So, all right, let's take our final break, and when we come back, we will run down last night's WWE SummerSlam card.
When you want to know when the next episode of the PW Torch Livecast is scheduled or catch up on a show you missed, check out our homepage, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can stream the latest shows right from that page, or download the show, or get a link to subscribe on a podcast app. That's pwtorchlivecast.com for the latest shows, and also catch up on shows you missed at pwtorchlivecast.com.
All right, so we're back, and let's run down quickly here, as I know we're running short on time. Let's go over the bigger matches from last night's WWE SummerSlam event. And Matt, this is the first time you've watched pro wrestling in how long?
I'm 28 now. I think I was maybe 10 or 11 the last fight I watched, so it's been what some people will call a little while.
Okay. So those were what, Hulk Hogan days? Eat your vitamins, say your prayers?
You know, it was long enough ago. I remember The Rock, I remember The Undertaker, I remember Kane, you know, really digging on it, and then my attention went elsewhere.
Right. Gotcha. All right, so let's start with the main event. Brock Lesnar retained the title by pinning Roman Reigns, which I was quite pleased with. And Matt, last week we had Sean on as a co-host, and the three of us picked we picked each of the matches who would win. And Robert, I don't know if you took a look at it, but you finished 7-4. I finished 7-4, and Sean finished 9-2. So, had we had money on it, Sean would have come out ahead with the money. So,
that's why he's not here. He's actually celebrating his victory.
Right, Robert. What are your thoughts on this match?
Oh, I thought it was great. I love that they didn't waste any time lumbering. These are four big dudes that just beat the heck out of each other, and I thought it was great. Like, it's a weird thing because, like, you have smaller wrestlers that could do so many do all these things, and it just wouldn't look as cool. But it was the size of these guys that made everything just feel awesome in this match.
Yeah, I agree. Where do you think, Matt? This is for you. With Lesnar retaining, what do you think this does, if anything, to his possible return to UFC?
Yeah, that's something I actually thought about myself. I honestly think he's going to stay with wrestling. You know, he had his run in MMA. You know, he made a lot of money. He did some big things. You know, his end of his career, he was dealing with his health issues and whatnot. You know, watching that last night, I'm impressed by the way he moves, you know, in the ring. Like Robert said, super entertaining. I was entertained. I loved the whole match. I can't see why he wouldn't stick with this. He looks like he's having a good time, and he's moving like a younger man.
So you don't think he comes back to the UFC at all?
No, that's my opinion. I think he sticks with wrestling.
Robert, did last night's finish change your mind in any way? What do you think his future is?
No, I think it confirms that if he does fight Jones, it'll be next summer. I think that was the only thing that changed from last night.
Yeah, same here. I think the only thing that changed for me is it's definitely going to take place after WrestleMania next year. I still think there's a chance he does go back to the UFC and fights Jones, but yeah, not until after WrestleMania. So moving on, we had Jinder Mahal retaining against Shinsuke Nakamura. This was a match that we've seen probably 15 times with Mahal, kind of rinse and repeat with the Singh brothers getting involved and him retaining in nefarious ways. So, Robert, your thoughts on the match?
Boring.
Yeah, awful. Not the best match to come back to, Matt, if this was something... If this was the first match you happened to see as a fan coming back after so many years.
Yeah, Robert summed it up about right. I found myself checking my phone and doing a few other things and couldn't wait to see Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I agree. All right, moving on. United States Championship. AJ Styles retains by pinning Kevin Owens clean. Robert, what did you think of this match?
I really liked it. My expectations weren't very high going into it, and I think they made good use out of the bumbling guest referee gimmick that they always roll out with. I want MMA to actually use that gimmick. I want like Tito Ortiz to like become a licensed official and then be like the ref in the next jail sign fight.
Yeah, I like this match as well. I thought this was probably their best match together. I could have gone without the whole Shane McMahon thing. I wish I would have preferred it being a straight up match with none of that stuff going on, but it seems like they're setting that up down the road between him and Kevin Owens. So I understood it from a storyline standpoint, but just from a pure competitive match, I would have rather seen it just be straight up. But Matt, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, you touched. I liked the guest referee gimmick. It kind of brought me in. And like you said, I'd love to see it in MMA. That could definitely be a Chael Sonnen bit. You know, if that's something they wanted to go with.
He would be perfect for it. All right, so we have Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins winning the titles from Sheamus and Cesaro. I thought this was an excellent match, actually. I thought this was one of the better matches. Aside from the main event, I actually enjoyed this match the most. Robert, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, it was great. It just made you kind of it's like when you go see a band, at a smaller venue and you remember what they were like a few years ago. It made me miss the Shield.
Yeah,
I was
for
thinking
sure.
about Matt in this match, like thinking, I wonder what he's thinking. Like, why the heck is everybody into these two dudes just that they're suddenly best friends again? But it was really fun. Sheamus and Cesaro are very underrated in general. So I had a good time. I wish the pay-per-view would have like started right here and only been like an hour long or 2 hours long. That would have been the perfect way to start the whole show.
Yeah, I agree with you. When you say Sheamus and Cesaro grew on you, I didn't care for the tag team or them teaming up in the beginning just because I wasn't a real big Sheamus fan. I was always high on Cesaro, but I just never saw anything in Sheamus. But the two of them, I mean, it took them a little while, but they really came together and gelled nicely and really started to click. So, I mean, I liked the finish, but I was also a little disappointed that Sheamus and Cesaro lost the titles. Matt, what were your thoughts on the match?
Yeah, actually, I'll leave this one to you guys. I got pulled away from my computer at this point to deal with something in my place, so I missed this whole one.
Gotcha. We'll move on. Did you catch the Finn Balor-Bray Wyatt match? If not, we'll just go right to Robert.
I'll pass the one to Robert.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a typical Bray Wyatt match to just put everyone to sleep.
And what's a shame is, like you said, it was a typical Bray Wyatt match. Why couldn't it be a typical Finn Balor match? Because then it would have been much more exciting. But it just seems like...
Well, it's kind of fun.
Go ahead.
It's weird with Balor. He doesn't necessarily... He does a lot of cool things. But if you've noticed, even back to his NXT days, he didn't necessarily have these blow-away matches. And I think that's still kind of been the case in the main roster.
Yeah, you could be right. I mean, I've always liked his matches personally. I didn't really follow his career much prior to NXT, so I really can't speak to how his matches were before that. But I've always been a fan. I think it was kind of a wasted opportunity to bring the Demon character out. I mean, I understand it was SummerSlam, it's a big show, but I just didn't think this feud needed it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Demon should come out in like a more of a main event setting. I just think, like you said, it's a waste. And I said it last week, he's gotten his regular entrance very over, so you don't need the Demon. I guess, though, his paint stayed on, so it was a short enough match that he didn't look like, Sting after a battle where he's got all that paint all over him. He stayed intact. I want to see him fight Jeff Hardy in, like, the battle of guys who paint themselves.
That would be interesting. So the Raw Women's Championship, Sasha Banks beat Alexa Bliss by submission. This was a surprise to me. I know this is the one where Sean picked correctly and you and I picked incorrectly. I just thought that Sasha Banks was a last-minute replacement because Bayley got hurt and there was really never any plan to put the belt on Sasha Banks. So that's why I was a little surprised at the booking here. Do you agree with that? Disagree, Rob?
Yeah, I was really shocked. I just figured they would continue business as usual. And I'm kind of curious to see where they go from here. I'm a little... The women's division has been in such flux that it's hard to pinpoint their direction.
Yeah, we'll probably find out in the next hour or two if you really want to know. Matt, did you catch this match?
You know, I did. I'm going to leave the analysis up to you guys. I'm still trying to find my bearings as far as a wrestling viewer. You know, it was, everything's new to me, as even as far as the promotions, the storylines. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the evening, you know, what I saw as a whole. I'm still just trying to kind of wrap my mind around what I'm seeing, you know, at this point in watching.
And we appreciate you taking one for the team and doing some homework last night. Thanks. All right. Randy Orton beats Rusev. In your, I guess, typical Randy Orton fashion. Robert, anything you want to say about this one?
The only match I thought was given the appropriate amount of time tonight or last night, because it was like, nobody, last week you were shocked that it was actually going to be on the card because there's been such little build to it.
And yeah, and if you blinked, you missed it.
Right, and there's still, that finisher is still very over. So,
oh, it's over huge.
No, better for Orton this year than last year when he had a 2-minute match and he got a concussion.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. All right. Big Cass beats the Big Show. Robert, another match that this show really started out slowly for me. I don't know how you felt about the first half of the show, but I struggled getting through some of them. So, and this was one of them. What did you think?
Yeah, it was, everything was just off here, and it's weird to have the guy at Big Cass in his first big feud against a guy who's bigger than him.
Yeah,
so
right.
It just, everything was off. Enzo detracted from the match, but I mean, him slipping out of the thing was pretty cool, but it just was, yeah, this could have been on the pre-show.
Yeah, for sure. Or Raw. All right, what else? SmackDown Women's Championship. Natalya over Naomi by submission to win the SmackDown Women's Championship. This is another one that surprised me, Robert. Were you surprised by the finish?
I was, because I just thought that there'd be like a Carmella cash-in maybe or something.
Yeah, I was expecting that too.
I liked the match itself. I just wasn't into it. It wasn't exciting. It was technically good. It just wasn't, nothing about it drew me in. I'm excited to see Natty as champ, though. That seems like a different wrinkle to have an older person, you know, an older wrestler be champ in this new era where women are really go at it for 15, 20 minutes on every pay-per-view.
Yeah, and there's a lot of mixed opinion on Natty. Yeah, I think for your older fans who have been around a while, kind of respect and like her work, where you have like the newer fans who aren't really high on her. So I'm glad she won the belt. I was surprised by the finish, but ultimately I'm glad she got it. I think she deserves it. So we had John Cena squashing Baron Corbin, and it looks like the Baron Corbin experiment may have come to an end. Robert, is that how you see it, or do you think there's a way to build him back up again?
There's probably a way to build him back up. Look, Jinder Mahal was a jobber, and then he became champ like 2 weeks later, so anything can really happen. I just think it's an indictment on him, though, because he's a great character, but like Bruce Pritchard always says, then the bell has to ring, and I think we're seeing that, like, guys like him and Bray Wyatt, they don't necessarily fit into this landscape where where the big guys are doing planches in the main event. It's kind of hard for a guy like that to get over these days.
Yeah, and I think he'd benefit from shaving his head too, but that's just my opinion coming from another bald guy. All right.
You don't dig the skullet?
No, not at all. SmackDown Tag Team Championship. The Usos get their championship belts back from the New Day by pinfall. I think you and I, didn't we go with New Day? Actually, all three of us went with New Day, so we all got that one wrong. I actually liked the finish. I preferred having the Usos carry the belts. I just didn't see them winning here. What did you think?
No, I didn't either. I thought they were going to just do another like 100 days of New Day touring. So it was interesting. And hey, maybe that keeps it going another month. Every month, that's like the thing. Last month's pay-per-view Battleground was terrible, but that match was really good. So if it's an excuse to keep it going another month, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I agree. I can watch those teams wrestle each other pretty much every week. So quickly, we'll run down these last two here. We have The Miz and The Miztourage defeating Jason Jordan and the Hardys by pinfall. Another one that surprised me. Kind of a throwaway match. I wish they had a little bit more planned for the Hardys. Were you surprised that this is where they were on the card and this was the match they got at all?
I'm not surprised that's where they were, because their opponents fell out late so they kind of had to be thrown together. But, I mean, did you see those shots? It was an empty arena match, and it's just really a shame because the Hardys would have got such a big pop when the last time they were in New York for WWE. It's a shame.
Yeah, Matt, did you get a chance to check this show out? You probably – do you remember the Hardys? Were they around when you were watching?
Yeah, that was actually a nice surprise for me. I remember the Hardy Boys a long time ago, and to turn it on and see the Hardy Boys still going on, you know, brought the nostalgia factor for me, and I really liked this match. You know, it kind of helped bring me back in, and I kind of got into my zone, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I liked the return of the Hardys. I thought they've done really well with the position they're in. Robert, I guess talk a little bit about where you see the act going. Do you see them continuing as a team or eventually splitting off? And I know a lot of people are just waiting for them to kind of reinvent themselves, maybe with or without the broken gimmick. How do you see it going?
I see the split coming fairly soon. And I don't think it's necessarily that it's going to be the big Matt Hardy thing, even though that's what we all want to see. I think actually Jeff Hardy is a main eventer. That's kind of an unresolved issue with WWE for like the last 7 years. But he was at a peak and then he left. So I think that's actually where, you know, the big money in the Hardys is going to be in the next 2 years or so.
You still think he's got a solid main event run in him?
I don't know that he can necessarily have great matches, but I think he can get big pops, and he could sell shirts, and he could check a lot of the boxes that's needed to be a WWE main eventer. Do they trust him, though? I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if you put your basically, you know, put the face of your company on a guy that's been in that much trouble in the past, that's a very risky proposition.
Yeah, I agree too. And I think this little run they're on now, I think, has a lot to do with how they treat them going in the future. So I'd like to see them reinvent themselves, stay a team a little bit longer, and then eventually a little bit further down the road, break them off. So be curious to see, though. And finally, we have Neville getting his belt back by beating Tozawa. So, Robert, you can take us home with this final match here.
Yeah, I thought the match was really good. This was like the best pre-show WWE has ever done, but all three matches were fairly decent. I just don't know what the point was of him losing the belt on Raw just to get it back over here. That's kind of like Stone Cold in 98. Like, you're just going to have this little blip in your run for no good reason.
Yeah, the go-home show for Raw was rather odd. Even the Finn Balor-Bray Wyatt match was a little odd. I mean, I understand they had to figure out a way to get the Demon character back, but it was strange. I thought this one was too. So, Matt, anything to add? Any comments, critiques? Are you a fan for life going forward now?
Yeah, you know, I'm definitely I'm going to tune in more, I think. It was just, you know, I'm a huge MMA guy, and this was just a nice change of pace. More fun, definitely. I'd say it more entertaining, almost. And, you know, I'm definitely going to tune in more, I think, now.
Good to hear. Robert, any final thoughts?
Yeah, it's interesting having a new fan like Matt watching, because we're told so often that we can't have what we want as hardcore wrestling fans.
Right.
We need to bring in new fans. But why is the show 6 hours if you're trying to attack a new fan? That's just ridiculous. And to Matt's point, like, if you are an MMA fan, the WWE product is more athletic than it's ever been in the past. So there is an opening there. I just think they need to figure out a way to tailor to these newer audiences without insulting everyone's intelligence. But I'm glad that he enjoyed the show, because I think if you get a fan like Matt to have him watch the show on Saturday night, I think you could really pick up some traction with that cross-branded audience.
Yeah, Matt, that's a good point. If you have the WWE Network, check out the NXT show from Saturday night. That was a really good show.
Yeah.
And typically, the NXT shows are better than the WWE shows just in general. So if you're, you know, looking for, you know, some really good wrestling, that's the show you want to watch. So I don't know if you had a chance to check it out, but highly recommend it.
Yeah, I'm definitely, I want to give big props to WWE. I thought I'd have to buy a pay-per-view. I wasn't aware of the WWE Network, which I think is a big thing that the UFC, I think, should take away. You know, I didn't have to buy a pay-per-view. Sign up, I can watch the whole event right from my computer like I did.
Right. Right, and it's interesting that you didn't know as a non-fan, or at least a lapsed fan, it's interesting that you didn't even know that they had a network. Robert, does that surprise you as well?
It does, because I think they've been basically preaching to the choir for the last 3 years, because they went through a period where they just plugged that network on like every segment. And it's because from a perspective, though, they're so far ahead of the game than any other sport is as far as streaming their content. That does kind of shock me.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised too. Do you ever see UFC doing anything similar, Robert?
You know,
it's a time sensitive issue. I think once they look, WWE would have never done this if they were still pulling in the big buy rates that they were doing in the late 90s, early 2000s. So if you can still get people to buy 1 million pay per views 5 times a year like they did last year, I don't think there's a reason for them to do it. And plus, even if you're a cord cutter, you can buy the pay-per-views on YouTube. So I don't think there's a need yet, but eventually everything just gets cheaper in life to an extent. You know, we're paying now for an entire video library, what it used to be $20 for one DVD. So eventually maybe the market will adjust, but I don't think it's coming in the very near future.
Yeah, Matt, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I thought for a while that the UFC Fight Pass was going to move to something like this. And then it seemed like all the executives behind it that were really pushing it, that were really doing a great job, either left or some would say were forced out. You know, we had big matches on UFC Fight Pass for a little while, and then that kind of went away. And now it seems like more of a service. You just watch a couple prelims and maybe watch some old fights.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish Fight Pass was more, but unfortunately I think this is kind of what we're going to get for the foreseeable future. So with that... that will do it for us for this episode of MMA Talk for Pro Wrestling Fans. Robert, if you want to go ahead and let listeners know one more time how they can follow you, and then Matt, go ahead and do the same after Robert.
Okay, follow me on Twitter, Rob M. Vallejos, RobMVallejos.
Yeah, and you can follow me on Twitter, that's Matt Pete. 1088, MATTPETE 1088.
All right, and you can follow me on Twitter at FightChampBlog, and you can read all my columns at MMATorch.com. So for Robert and Matt, my name is Mike Rocky. We'll be back next week for another episode of MMA Talk for Pro Wrestling Fans. Thanks, guys.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.